In 2001, Proof, the play by David Auburn, won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama as well as the Tony Award for Best Drama. A new production by Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company opens tomorrow at Southwest Fulton Arts Center. And joining me now are the director of that production, Tess Malice Kincaid, and actress Fedna Jacquette. Welcome to City Lights.
Thank you, Lois.
Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And this is such a fabulous story. It centers largely around Catherine, a young woman who has sacrificed years of her life as the sole caretaker for her unstable but renowned father, who was a mathematician. And it opens on the eve of her 25th birthday, and her estranged sister arrives. So the story unfolds, and it has a number of themes. Tess, let's start with you. How does the play address the nature of genius?
Well, you experience it through Dad, the father, the character of Robert. He was a brilliant mathematician and a professor at University of Chicago, and was an incredibly well-respected man in his field. He has a protege who we get to know as well, the character of Hal, who Eric Mendenhall plays, who comes over and is going through all of the paperwork that Robert has left behind. But Fedna Jacquette plays Catherine, his daughter, and Tinashe Kijeze plays Claire, who is the other daughter. And Catherine has kind of inherited a great deal of the mathematical genius that her father had. But along with that, she is also fearful that she may have inherited some of his instability as well. So she's trying to process through that brilliance and also trying to define whether or not this madness has come upon her as well, or if it's purely grief in terms of what she's been experiencing in her life as being a caretaker for her father.
So there's a whole lot going on.
Right.
On several different levels. David Auburn, the playwright himself, attended the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. My husband grew up in that area, right? On the campus, went to grammar school, high school there.
Right, right.
I don't know if you know this, but the slogan for the University of Chicago, at least for the college, for the undergraduates, was "Where fun goes to die." And they actually think that's a badge of honor. I mean, you know, University of Chicago students are just these
brilliant
brains, brainiacs, as they call. But also alongside that is either some emotional instability, which often accompanies brilliance. And social awkwardness. Is that embodied in your character, Fedna?
I think so. She's definitely a young woman who has kind of had her foot into school, but then also outside of school, being the main caretaker for father. So she's a bit awkward, a bit of a homebody. So she definitely has those tendencies of being both awkward but extremely smart.
Well, as the lead character, we're so grateful you could join us this morning, because the story, the plot, really pivots around Catherine and her estranged sister shows up. There are flashbacks of her father, and then there's another complication. Tell us more of what unfolds in this happy family dynamic.
Happy is an interesting word to use. So she starts off kind of having a conversation with her father, and she's in a grief period because he just recently passes away, maybe a week before the show starts. And she's kind of dealing with that, but also dealing with her older sister, who took care of all of the financial situations behind, you know, the house and her father's care. And so they kind of have to come together to figure out what the next step is. And that's not necessarily always a mutual decision. So we kind of run into some problems with that. And then there's a bit of a romance with the protege, which makes things, you know, really exciting, but also complicates the matter when things kind of hit the rocks and miscommunication kind of opens up and no one really knows how to understand each other or talk to each other or get through to each other, although everyone has the same good intentions and motivations behind, you know, what they're doing. So it gets pretty complicated pretty fast.
And that certainly complicates faster when Hal, the graduate student, the protege of Robert the brilliant mathematician, arrives in that household. Tess, I was wondering if you would talk about the use of flashback in this play.
It's really beautiful what David Auburn has done with this story in terms of following Catherine's journey. It truly is Catherine's journey and her finding her own sense of agency again and her identity. In order to tell that story, David Auburn takes us back and forth in time. So we get to see moments with Dad when things were good, and we get to see moments when things were on the cusp of turning bad. And we see the sacrifices that Catherine has made in her own life in order to care for him. And it's just a really beautiful telling of the story that is told this way through their lives. It's quite moving, I think.
Talking with Tess Malice Kincaid, the director, and actress Fedna Jacquet. Proof opens tomorrow at the Southwest Arts Center in Fulton County, a True Colors production. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta.
Support for WABE comes from the High Museum of Art, now open at the High Fever Within, the art of Ronald Lockett, the first retrospective of this largely unrecognized Southern artist, featuring more than 50 works made from salvaged materials. Tickets at high.org.
Are listening to some of the music from the film adaptation of Proof that was made in 2005, 4 years after David Auburn's play won the Tony Award for Best Drama and Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Not a bad year for David Auburn. The play has an element of suspense, and we cannot spoil the bomb that's dropped at the end of the first act. But there is a lot of suspense, and there's a good bit of humor, too. Would you talk about some of that humor?
Oh, it's so delightful. There is a great deal of humor, and I'm happy to say I've got a cast that has really been wanting to dive in and find that. So between the comedy that's thrown in and the romance that's there, I think that the audience is really engaged in this story because they're invested in these characters. Everyone is there. These are real people. You know, as a director, I was quite intimidated coming in with all the math. You know, I thought, I'm not a math person. But it was a vehicle by which David Auburn could explore this brilliance. But then there's a lot of humor that's found with it as well, with miscommunications. And then there's a little bit of a rivalry expressed between University of Chicago and Northwestern. And it's just great fun.
You know, that's especially funny today with the Cubs entering the World Series once a century, maybe a little more than once a century. It's a big deal. But growing up in Chicago, the North Side, South Side identities are very strong, dare I say fierce. And Cubs, North Side, White Sox, Chicago. Huh. People were asking my husband over the weekend, so you're excited about the White Sox and about the Cubs? And he said, White Sox.
Ouch.
And the Northwestern and University of Chicago dynamic comes out here, too.
Well, and there's even a line about the fact that the Cubs are losing in the play. We're going, well,
not
right now.
Once every 100 or so years, that won't be true, but exactly. In terms of this, the fact that it deals with a mathematical proof and a brilliant mathematician, There are other stories recently that have explored the nature of genius. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Benedict Cumberbatch, A Beautiful Mind,
yes.
And The Theory of Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know, it's just mind-boggling how playwrights get onto these themes, or the play Copenhagen, mm-hmm. where Heisenberg mm-hmm. and Niels Bohr were the figures. And you think, how does that right brain, left brain, how do they go from arts and humanities to dealing with mathematics and physics? And how does the audience digest all of this?
Well, happily, I don't think that we're asked to completely understand, obviously, the mathematical ideas that are being expressed, yes. right?
Good thing
exactly.
for some of us.
Good thing for me. But again, it's an opportunity for us to dig into the humanity of these people. Mm-hmm. Underneath the brilliance. And yes, there's also that element of the arts and the sciences overlapping. There's so much reference to the elegance mm-hmm. of a proof,
yes.
and how that is viewed as music. And that was important to me as I was exploring the music of the play too, because you'll hear musicians talk about how it is mathematical to them, and truly it is. So there is that fusing. But I can let Fedna speak to that more
Did you have to brush up on your math?
On my math skills? Quickly, yes. But but I did realize that it is very similar. I mean, the beauty behind mathematics is very similar to the beauty behind acting, music, art. You know, you're always trying to find the smoothest way to something or the most elegant way to something. And that's exactly how it is in advanced mathematics, right?
So you did not have math anxiety undertaking this role?
I did not. I actually did do a lot of math back in school. So I do love mathematics. And I did this make a transition to acting. But
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Well, I'm talking about math anxiety. Just good old-fashioned anxiety plays a big part in this story. Mm. I'm thinking back about a year ago, Tess Malis Kincaid was Nurse Ratched in yes. Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. Would you think such a lovely, sweet person could be so sinister? But she was.
There is a theme of madness going on in my life right now, Lois.
I'm saying that. I'm just thinking that. But emotional frailty and neurosis figure very prominently in this story. How does that play out in the role of Catherine?
You know, I think as an actor, I approach it in two different ways. I think Catherine, as a young woman kind of dealing with grief, isn't necessarily like a static thing. So she's never really in one place where she's either feeling really sad or really anxious or really upset. It's kind of a myriad of a lot of different things going on, and certain triggers kind of push certain things up to the forefront, right? So I think she definitely is anxious, but she's pretty, let me think of the perfect word. She doesn't really care about what people kind of think about her. She has like a very blasé personality, which I adore and wish I had.
so, but then you wouldn't be an actor.
Yeah. So I think everything that's boiling underneath, you know, she is pretty good with letting them boil underneath. So as an actor playing her, it's interesting to have all of these things underneath the surface while having her have kind of a lid on top of it, which is like, okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to engage. I don't really care. It's been really fun.
Good. I saw the play on Broadway in Erewhon, and Mary Louise Parker mm-hmm. played the lead. I'm not sure you were born yet, Fedna.
I was definitely born.
You were born. Tess was a toddler. Mary Louise Parker, you know, she has that droll sort mm-hmm. of deadpan, almost bleary-eyed, and she was very believable, but played it almost catatonic. Mm. Is mm-hmm. your, I'm very eager to see your portrayal. Are you, you say she's sort of blasé. How, why is that sort of even temperament, not even emotionally, but that outward static, why is that important to her character?
I think it was important for David Auburn, and he, in fact, referenced the original production of it in terms of the wonderful nature of that actress in that role, was the fact that she didn't care. She didn't care what people thought of her. And so I don't think that it necessarily manifests itself as a flatline kind of behavior. It's more she doesn't care if she flies off the handle. She doesn't care what people think of it. If she breaks down into tears, she doesn't care what people think of it, at least on the surface. It takes us a little while before we're able to crack through that tough exterior to see her vulnerability and let that come out. And then when she does open herself up, she gets kind of slapped on the hand a little bit for it and has to kind of shut down a little bit more. So it's these kind of baby steps that she takes forward in terms of finding her sense of self again.
Mm. We're going to take another short break and look forward to hearing more about Proof from Fedna Jacquet and Tess Malice Kincaid. This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. Writing the Proof, that musical portion from the film version of Proof in 2005. You can see the play beginning tomorrow at Southwest Arts Center. I want to ask you, especially Fedna, about the sisters' relationship in this story.
That's actually probably one of my favorite parts of the play. So Claire, played by Tinashe Kijesi, is the older sister, and she's kind of been living her life in New York. You know, she has really established herself as an adult, and she comes back to Chicago and kind of tries to take charge. And you can tell from the character, but also from the actress, that she has like a real love for her sister and really has like really positive, you know, motivations, but it doesn't necessarily always read to Catherine in the right way. So watching the sisters interact with each other is very interesting.
Well, particularly since Catherine had the responsibility of caring
exactly.
for their father. And I'm wondering, because Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, part of its mission is diversity and embracing the community, the entire community. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the character of Hal is played by an actor who is not African American, the rest of the cast is. Mm-hmm. Is that colorblind casting, or is that a dynamic in this particular production?
You know, we don't reference it. It was just important to me that the cast be diverse. And so we saw actors of all color come in for the auditions. I really wanted to go African-American with the family. I felt like the story was very well told that way and actually speaks to an issue that is prevalent in the African-American community in that they are reluctant to, and we've had therapists come in and talk to us, to talk openly about mental illness, that it is more of a shroud in that community, more so than in the white community. So that kind of, it brings that element to the fore, I think, in a way that hasn't been done before. We don't comment on it, but I think the nature of a university setting is it's a progressive environment. It is not commented upon. Dad doesn't think anything about this white student coming over, nor does Catherine have any qualms about what color this guy is that she's involved it with. It's a really wonderful love story. It's a meeting of the minds as much as anything else, that they share their brilliance and they share a love for the father. There's a great deal of love in this play. I love the sister relationship. It's absolutely accurate. If you have a sister, you've experienced these things.
Yes.
But the father-daughter relationship is beautiful. And then the beginnings of love that you see between Hal and Catherine it's a wonderful journey to go on.
All universal things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in wrapping up, I wish we had more time, but without spoiling the excitement of this plot, ultimately, what is proven in the end?
Go for it, Pet.
Okay. What is proven in the end? Well, I think the play does leave us with a lot more questions than answers. But in my opinion, I think the play proves in the end that one can go on a treacherous journey towards through grief and mental instability and be able to get out of it, you know, that there's agency, whether it's trying to find your place in a male-dominated field, whether that's trying to climb out of depression, but there's agency and you can do it.
Proof of life.
Yes.
Fedna Jacquette is Catherine. Thank you so much for joining us. Tess Malice Kincaid, always a joy to have you on.
Thank you.
You can see True Colors Theater production of Proof opening tomorrow at Southwest Arts Center. There will be more information on our website, wabe.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.